she bought her boyfriend new wheels.
I said, I really can't afford it. She says, look, I'll help you with the payments.
Then he drove her back to her ex.
I had a call from her husband stating she's back with him now.
But getting her money back.
I took the car back.
What do you mean you took the car back?
I took it back to the dealership.
Maybe harder than she thinks.
All this you don't have any proof of. You have no paperwork, you have no nothing.
Judge Judy.
Well, usually people bring paperwork when they come to court.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinman. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is her courtroom. This is Judge Judy. 36-year-old office manager Karen Frawley and her husband Brett Frawley are suing their neighbor, 77-year-old bookkeeper Jeanette Shapiro, for damage to a vehicle cover and for half the cost of a fence. Jeanette is countersuing, claiming the Frawleys mutilated her tree.
Order, all rise. Yeah, this is case number 554 on the calendar in the matter of Frawley versus Shapiro. Parties have been sworn in, Judge. You may be seated.
Mr. and Mrs. Frawley, you and Mrs. Shapiro are next door neighbors, I assume. Is that right?
That's correct.
According to your complaint, Mr. and Mrs. Frawley, the defendant's gardener caused some damage to a cover of a trailer that was on your property.
Correct.
And you want the defendant to pay for the damage to that cover. Additionally, you say that you were forced to put up two separate fences on your property, separating your property from the defendant's property, and you want her to pay for half the cost of those fences. That's
correct.
What your case is about. The defendant has a cross complaint that you maliciously cut down a branch of a tree that was very precious to her, and she says that you have been harassing her, so she has a counterclaim. So this sounds like a very untenable situation for people to be in. Neighbors who don't get along. So let's hear about the problem with this tarp cover that was covering your trailer.
Well, on December 18th of last year, my wife and I returned home from work and noticed our travel trailer cover had sustained damage.
Mm-hmm.
We noticed or examined actually the height and the pattern of the damage and concluded that it was caused by the exhaust of a gardener's leaf blower.
It had burned like a 4-foot long hole across the cover, and you could tell that it was a burn mark.
Let me see, you have pictures of it, I assume?
Yes, sure. That's it.
Okay, so you came home and you found these burn holes. What did you do?
My husband had seen four gardeners on our driveway before when he happened to be home from work a day when they had come, and he had asked them not to stand on our property because their backpack thing actually put some dents in our trailer. But when he mentioned it to them, they just kind of acted like there was a language barrier, like they maybe didn't understand.
So you had seen them standing on your property,
blowing
the leaves on the defendant's property through her property.
Well, I only observed them the one time, and there was an individual standing on her property and an individual standing on my driveway, and I asked the one standing on my driveway if he could conduct his business from her property, and he appeared as though there was a language barrier.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
So when this incident happened, though, I actually typed up a little note and put it in her mailbox just asking her for the name and address of her gardeners because they should have been the ones that we needed to address this issue with. And she chose to ignore my request.
You did receive this note.
I did.
So when that went unacknowledged, I said...
Why, just a second. Why didn't you acknowledge this letter?
I thought it was harassment.
You did? Why would you think this was harassment?
Because it's been going on for some time.
Prior to December 19th, when had the plaintiffs communicated with you?
I have a dog that I walk every morning. They had acquired a very small terrier, allowing it to go to the bathroom on my front lawn. I ran outside and asked her to never let that dog go on my lawn again, and she grabbed me. I thought that she perhaps would throw me to the floor, to the grass.
When was this, Mrs. Shapiro?
It was last fall. I can't tell you the date.
What month?
Well, we'll say November, October. I don't know exactly.
October, November. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, had you had any difficulty with the
Yes,
plaintiff?
They cut the tree. I have pictures here. They cut the crown out of the tree.
When was that?
That was in June or July.
Okay, so you had the tree and you had the dog, months apart.
Mm-hmm.
But this letter is very clear. This letter says, please provide us with the name and address and phone number of your gardener because he has damaged our property.
I ignored it because I thought it was more harassment.
Okay, go ahead. What's next?
Well, then I sent her a certified letter return receipt, and she refused to pick it up from the post office. So then I sent one via regular mail so that I would have all my bases covered.
Okay, and you did, in fact, receive this letter asking for $280.25.
I didn't receive it as certified mail.
No, you received it as regular mail.
As regular mail.
And did
mail.
You do anything after you received this letter?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, then we ended up putting up a wood fence just because we could tell that with no help from the defendant, there was no way we were going to be able to protect our belongings from future damage without preventing them from walking on our property completely.
Let me see.
So this was the $1,400 we spent on the
wood fence. I'm not interested in the $1,400 okay. fence. I'm interested in a picture of the
pictures?
Fence. Okay, so now you have a fence up, so there's no more problem with the gardener.
Correct.
Good. That saves a lot of trouble. Nice fence. She's not going to pay for it. Put it up, you pay for it.
Okay.
What's next?
We ended up having to put up a chain link fence to protect the rest of our property because there was an incident where some stuff was stolen from the side of our house.
You don't think Mrs. Shapiro did?
No, I know she didn't do it.
Of course. So you put up another fence, and you also want her to pay for half of that fence.
Correct.
But that's not going to happen.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I'll hear you, Mr. Shapiro, with regard to these holes that were clearly burn marks. Did you discuss it with your gardeners?
I did discuss it with my gardener. I don't see my gardener. They come when I'm at work.
Well, then you have to be responsible for it. If you didn't make an inquiry to your gardener as to what happened, they have reason to at least believe, based upon what they had previously observed and based upon the burn marks that are in their tarp, that it happened as a result of leaf blowing and the hot exhaust coming out of the back of these machines. They asked you, please find out what happened. You clearly responded to them, I'm not doing anything. If you refuse to give them the information, they have no recourse but to sue you. Now I want to get to this tree business, because that's really what I consider the gravamen of your countersuit, which is that they cut down a tree that was on your property. Well, let me hear about it.
They didn't cut it down, Your Honor. They cut the crown out of the tree. That's the center part of the tree that grows the highest. It's a specimen tree. It's full grown. It was given to me by my nephew shortly after I moved into the house. This nephew is a very precious person, was a very precious person to me. He was dying of cancer, and he said to me, Aunt Jeanette, every time you go look out your front door, you'll remember me. And so to me, it became a symbol of a tree of life.
Well, let me see what they did, Ms. Shapiro.
The pictures, Your Honor, were taken on the early part of March after I received the summons to appear. The damage was done in June or July of last year.
What was the tree hanging over their property?
Some of the tree did hang over the property, but not that part of the tree.
We didn't trim anything that wasn't hanging over our property, Your Honor. Why would we trim the crown of her tree? That doesn't make any sense.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Karen and Brett Frawley claim their vehicle cover was ruined by neighbor Jeanette Shapiro's gardeners. Jeanette claims the Frawleys mutilated her tree.
Go ahead.
It was a full tree, and now it is in a V. It was even more drastically cut when it was first done. It's had 6 months.
Well, it grew back.
Yes, but the crown is gone. You can see
the V there.
That may
be, but if the crown was hanging over their property...
It was not hanging.
Well, I can't tell that. I can't tell that.
I understand that.
And if they did that in July, why didn't you register a complaint in July?
Because I thought this was just more harassment. I don't communicate with these people.
Why not?
Because she shouts at me.
Just a minute. Listen. In July, this was the first thing that you told me that happened.
It goes further back. It goes maybe a year or two further back. When she called me to her driveway and said to me, I want to talk to you, Jeanette. I walked over there, and she says, tell your gardener not to blow any leaves on our lawn.
So that's not harassment, Mrs. Shapiro.
I said, if you want to talk to the gardener, please, you have my permission to talk to the gardener.
They don't speak English.
I don't know that they do or not
speak
English.
Well, he said he tried to speak to them, and there was a language barrier. So I assume when he says a language barrier, he means that they don't speak English, because he speaks English. Very unfortunate in any event. I have no proof that whatever they cut from your specimen tree was not hanging over their property. It's impossible to tell from these photographs. But since you refused to give them the information which would have allowed them to pursue your gardener, you have to be responsible for the damage yourself. You have the bill?
Yeah, it's in that letter. It was the original amount that we had asked her for, the $280.25.
Judgment for the plaintiff, $280.25. Thank you.
Excuse me one moment.
Yes, just a minute.
I'd like to show you a picture of my side of the fence. There are three signs that are posted on my side of the fence that say, keep out, no trespassing. That's on a front patio of mine. I would like to have those removed. That's right in direct line of my front door.
Well, maybe her gardeners know by now and we could take it down.
Well, then let's talk about that, because these two signs, keep out, private, posted, are really unattractive. So why don't you take the signs down? It would be nice. She would like that.
Sure.
And I can understand that it faces her front door and it doesn't look nice. It just looks like a nice neighborhood. Got it?
No problem.
I got it.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
That tree was a very, very precious tree to me.
We tried to be cordial with the neighbor.
It means a great deal. It was actually a tree of life as far as I'm concerned.
You live and learn, I guess.
And now the next case.
All parties on Denon versus Aviles. Step forward, please.
40-year-old poet Cheryl Denon is suing her ex-boyfriend, 38-year-old steelworker Thomas Aviles, for the down payment on a car. Thomas says the vehicle was a gift in return for teaching her to drive.
Ms. Denon, according to your complaint, you met the defendant while you were online in a chat room. And at the time you were married, you began a relationship, I assume, on the computer with the defendant. Is that right?
Correct.
And then there came a time when that relationship developed. You ended up terminating your marriage, or your husband terminated your marriage. And while you were in this relationship with the defendant, after you and your husband separated, you claim that you loaned the defendant $2,500 as a down payment for a new used car.
Correct.
That's not true.
Shortly thereafter, you decided that he wasn't right for you, and you terminated the relationship with him. You and your husband are now back together. You want your $2,500 back.
Correct.
When did you first begin to have this chat room relationship with the defendant?
I would say about December of 1998.
Okay, when did you first meet him?
Possibly maybe 2 or 3 weeks later.
And when did you and your husband separate?
We separated in 1999.
When in 1999?
August.
At that time, did you begin a relationship with the defendant?
We had a relationship going on and off the whole time.
Okay.
And the reason for my husband leaving was because of that.
When did you give him this $2,500?
December of 2000.
When did you separate from him?
About 3 days before Christmas.
So within weeks of giving him the $2,500. Is that right?
Correct.
And tell me about the conversations that took place prior to you giving him the $2,500.
Well, we discussed that we were, quote unquote, going to be a couple and that he was going to teach me how to drive.
You didn't know how to drive?
No, I don't know how to drive. And he was going to help me regain some independence, which was good. And at first it was spoken that when I lent him the $2,500 that he was going to pay me back.
She said it was a gift.
Don't.
He said that he was going to pay me back when he got his income tax. Then, like maybe a few days later, we talked about, hey, well, we're going to be together. What's yours is mine.
Who said that?
Both of us.
So you said that?
No idea.
Yes, you did, Tommy.
No. You said that. You said you both said it. So you said it. What's yours is mine, and what's mine is mine. Right?
Yeah.
Well, isn't that the way it works? I can't say it any other way. What's yours is mine, and what's mine is yours? That doesn't even sound right. Okay. Did you have any discussion with him about the $2,500 when you decided to terminate the relationship?
Yes, I did. He came over to my house maybe before New Year's, and he had Christmas decorations in my window, and I was not home. He took all the Christmas decorations out of my house that he had put into my house, which I would have returned them to him anyway. I did not want to keep them, okay?
Okay.
And I had come home, and he was there.
Well, did you ask him at that point about your $2,500?
Yes, I did. And he said to me, don't ask me about that if you want to be friends with me. And I thought that was very stupid because I was not going to be friends with him when there's other circumstances why I didn't want him that I found out later through the relationship.
Okay. Mr. Aviles.
Yes.
Let's talk about this car. Under what circumstances do you claim that she gave you this $2,500?
Your Honor, we had a deal.
You know, we had a car accident. We had mentioned in my car.
What do you mean we had a car accident?
She was in the car with me in my van, and we had a car accident.
But you were driving.
I was driving.
So you had a car accident.
Okay, well, she was in the car with me.
She was in the car with you, but you okay. had the accident.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Okay, so at that time, she made a suggestion, why don't you go buy a new car? And I said, where would I get the money for that? She said, well, look, let's make a deal. I will give you the $2,000 for a down payment, and you will teach me how to drive, and it'll be our car. I said, sure, that would be fine.
Okay.
Okay, so we go to the dealer, we pick this car out. I said, I really can't afford it. She says, look, I'll help you with the payments. I said, oh, you sure about this? She said, yeah. Now, she gave me $2,000. It wasn't $2,500.
I assume she's going to be able to show me that she took out or she wrote a check for $2,000.
No, she gave me cash. She gave the dealer cash.
I would assume you have the receipt for that. Does somebody have the receipt for what you gave to the dealer?
Sales slip has been returned.
To where?
To that dealer. When I took the car back, saying right, I can no longer afford this car.
How much was the entire purchase price of the car?
$5,000.
Is that right?
Correct.
So okay. On Christmas Eve night, I had a call from her husband stating the fact that she's back with him now.
Okay, so they're back together.
And he would be around to pick up her things. So they came around the 26th, picked up things that she had at my house. Her husband had stated on the fact that he was going to come around and pick up the things, said, keep the car. We don't want it. If they were going to pick up half the car or come and get the car, they would have came and said something to me on the 26th.
Did you just say they're going to come and pick up?
Well, you know what I'm saying.
No. Listen to me.
Okay.
Well, you're not receiving.
Yeah, sure.
Did you just say to me that if they were going to pick up half the car, they would have come and pick up half the car?
I meant to say, if they were going to say anything about the car, he would have came around on the 26th and said, we want the $2,000 back.
All right. Mr. Avalos, listen to me. You just cooked your own goose. You said to me, your agreement with the plaintiff was this was going to be your car as a couple.
Right.
And she was going to, according to you, put down not only $2,000, but also help you with the car payments.
But they told me to keep the car. They said they didn't want it.
They don't want the car. Right. They don't want the car.
So I took the car back.
What do you mean you took the car back? You never gave it to them.
No, I took it back to the dealership.
Fine. And what did you buy?
A cheaper car that I could afford.
How much did you pay for the cheaper car?
$4,000.
And how much later? 3 weeks after you purchased it?
Yes, about 4 weeks afterwards. It was in January.
Like to say you're right. All right. 4 weeks after.
Yes, Your Honor.
You brought it back. How much did the dealer give you for the $5,000 car towards the $4,000 car?
$2,500.
All this you don't have any proof of. You have no paperwork, you have no nothing.
I have the owner's card.
You're coming to court. You know, usually people bring paperwork when they come to court.
He kept the paperwork for the other car, so I don't have the paperwork for the new car.
You make copies. So if you have paperwork for the new car would have shown how much money he gave you for the old car.
True.
Good. Now you're getting better. So you used, according to you, $2,000 of her money to purchase this car that you are currently driving.
Yes.
And according to you, Mr. Avalos, this was supposed to be your car as a couple, right?
Yes, but on Christmas Eve, she devastated me. She said she no longer wanted to be the couple, that she wanted to take the car back.
Well, how do you think her husband felt?
Well, he's the one that told me, he said, keep the car.
I wasn't talking about the car. I was talking about his wife.
They were divorced.
Because of whom?
Not because of me.
Because of the two of you?
Not really.
That wasn't because of you?
No.
When you started to
have
this...
They had problems long before I came.
Well, that's what she told you when she was talking to you in the chat room, but they were still married, right?
True.
True. All right. You got to give her $2,000 back. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $2,000. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
I got a call saying that she was no longer going to, continue the relationship.
Beware. Men are very strange.
So that was a pretty dude thing to do on Christmas Eve.
For anybody out there that's on the internet, watch out for Bad Daddy 62 because he might do the same thing to you.